too many preachers preach on it. I've never heard too many teachers teach on it. It's going to be really a lesson that I really want your undivided attention, because the good Lord's really trying to elevate us spiritually. He's trying to get our undivided attention about some things. So if you have your Bibles, go to Revelation chapter 2. Be teaching on Smyrna Church, just a little bit about it. I want to give you just a little bit of background, a little history. I always like to give a little history, just a little bit of a background, so we can get a really picture of what's going on, what's taking place at that time period. Also, in our lives and how the different ages affects you and I as well, even the older churches, earlier churches, if you want to look at it in that sense of what they had to deal with, what you and I are going to deal with in the future, different things of this nature. In Christian literature, Smyrna means suffering. Smyrna was one of the lovely cities of Asia. It was called a flower or an ointment. It was called a crown city. It was encircled with flowers and hedge and myrtle trees. It had a theater, had music centers. It was the home of music. Polycarp, the bishop in Smyrna, he was a student of John the Apostle, and he got martyred around A.D. 155. He was, matter of fact, covered with tar, oil, one, and set afire and burned alive. So he went through a lot of suffering. Now, as we're studying about this church period here, between A.D. 100 and A.D. 300, according to the books and some of the scholars that I read, around 5 million people were martyred, during that time frame, within that 200 years, 300 years there, from A.D. 100 to A.D. 300. You and I don't know the suffering of what these people have gone through. Now, you and I, as far as future is concerned, the Bible talks about how it's going to wax worse and worse, and you and I don't know what we're going to go through. Now, as we really look at this, I want you to listen what God has to say to the churches. So if you got Revelation chapter 11, chapter 2, verse 11, I want you to listen what he has to say here. He says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." Now I want you to take notice of two things here. He was talking spiritually. He was talking to his people. He that hath an ear, let him hear spiritually what he was saying. But not only that, he brought out that he challenged this church. Every church here, that all the way through the seven churches, at the end of it, he always put, "He that hath an ear, let him hear. And he that overcometh." He challenged each church age, no matter when it was. So we can learn from all this. Now I want you to drop down to go back to verse 8, chapter 2. "Unto the angel of the church in Smyrna, write these things, saith the first and the last, which was dead, is alive. I know thy works, tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. I know the blaspheming of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are synagogues of Satan. Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Now, I want to go back to verse 8 just for a second. I want you to stop and kind of look at this for a second as we look at this and we get into this lesson. This is the only place in that he taught to the churches that he was the first and the last, was dead, and he is alive. No other church did he say this to but this one. And I looked at that and I got to thinking about it. Why in the world did he say that? Why did he bring that out to this particular church? And he had to have a particular reason. Go over to chapter 1. It refers back to this. Verse 17. It says, "And when I saw him," it's John, he said, "I fell at his feet as dead. He laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore." Now, as we look at this, and I thought about this real carefully, and we look, first of all, I want you to take notice when he talks about fear not and all of this. There's four things I want to bring out about that one particular verse real quick, and why he said that to these churches. Why he said that what he was dead, he was alive, he was first, he's last, and you all know that Christ is alive today. But he speaks of his deity and eternity. Then he speaks of his redemption, death, and resurrection in these verses. Next, he presents, "I am alive forevermore." This refers to his present state where he is today. Now, he had a reason for this. Number four, he speaks of his death and of hell. The keys, death of hell, engraving the keys, speaks of power over death and the grave. Now, I want to talk to you about a subject called death. Now, I want to ask you some questions, and y'all just look at me a little bit, and I want your undivided attention. Now, you and I both always has to deal with death to a certain degree. Your parents, for an example. Some of you have lost your parents. You know what it's like to lose someone that close to you. You know how it affects you mentally. You know how it affects you spiritually. Some people lose their children. You know how it affects them mentally and spiritually when you lose a child. Or when a parent loses a grandchild even. Or when tragedy and trouble and trials come your way, how do you handle it? What do you think? As we look at this, and I was kind of amazed at this, that this particular church was going to go through all of this of all kind of suffering, all kind of tribulations, all kind of trials, all kind of deaths that was going to enter into their families and enter into their life. And I thought about, what about the church today as we really look at this particular thing, as we all think about death and dying. Now, I want to ask you a question, and I want you to think about this just for a second. I've heard a lot of people say, "Well, I'm ready to go to heaven, but not today." Why not? I'm serious. Why not? Why aren't you ready to go? "Well, I am ready. I'm safe. I'm ready to go. But just not today." What did Paul say about it? Go to Philippians. Start in verse 20. "According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that in all boldness, always, so now that also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or death." Now, I want to stop right there. We're going to go on down just a minute, but I want to stop right there just a minute. I want you to think about what Paul is saying. Paul don't want to be ashamed of his way he conducted himself of serving Christ. He wanted to do it with all boldness. He wanted to do it to the very best he possibly could. He didn't want to be ashamed at his coming. Now, I'm going to tell you something else. And as we look at this, 1 Corinthians 2 and 13, the Bible says, "Which they also, we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, or by what the Holy Ghost teacheth, but compare spiritual to spiritual. Now, I want us to look at what Paul is really saying here as we drop down to verse 23. He says, "For I am in a strait between two, having a desire to part, to be with Christ, which is far better." What did Paul really say? He was torn between going on and going to be with Jesus than staying here. He had rather left than he had to stay. Now, that speaks of where Paul was. Where are you and I at spiritually? How do we deal with death? How do we deal with when we're going to die or when we get cancer? What's the first thing we do? Our health. That's natural. It's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But, are you ready? What about a loved one? What about your parents? What about your children? How can you handle it? Now, I want to go up to verse 21. "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Now, I thought about that. Now, what was he really talking about there? Let's think about heaven just for a second. Was he talking about our rewards? His reward that he was going to have? Was he talking about the big gates that you're going to see? Was he talking about seeing his loved ones that he missed? What about a person that can't see and they go to heaven and they're going to be able to see? What about a person that can't walk and they're going to go to heaven and they'll be able to walk? They're going to have a new body, as you well know. As you get older, you hurt. Looking forward to having that new body, I think. You know what I mean? But is that why we're looking to go to heaven? What did Paul say? He said to live in Christ, but to die is gain. Now, is he talking about all of that? Now, you and I want you to think about this just for a second. While we are down here, living in this world that we live in now, why do you work? You work for a certain amount of rewards. You work for a paycheck. You work to provide for your family. But let me ask you a question. When does work become before the good Lord? Let me ask you this. How many toys do we have that we don't have to have? But we're going to work extra to get them. Stop and think about it just for a second. I know, I got a little toy myself. I'm right there with you. I understand it. But our priorities is not in order. If our priorities were in order, we would rather be in heaven than here. Paul was here. Where are we at spiritually is the key. Now, I want you to think about what was he talking about? If he wasn't talking about all these rewards when you die, what was he talking about? What did he really say? He said, "For me to live is what?" In other words, if he's going to live down here, for him to live is what? Christ. Right? Christ become, in other words, before everything. No matter what it was. Come before work. Come before children. Come before wife, come before husband, come before anything. To live is to live in Christ. But to die is gain. Now, as I thought about heaven, you know, the Bible talks about in my Father's house in John, or many mansions, but Jesus said he's going to prepare a place for us. Ain't no telling what how pretty that's going to be. Is that what we're working for? Is that our desire? Even working for Christ is the rewards that we're going to get. Now, the Bible tells us to lay up treasures in heaven. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is, what is Paul saying here? Take a look at it. Stop and think about it just for a second. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You know what he's going to gain? More of Christ. When he dies, he's going to have more of Christ than he has ever had. The rewards, they're going to cast him a crown at Jesus' feet. You think that when we get to heaven, we're just going to, I don't know what we think. But it's all going to be about Jesus. What's it supposed to be down here? To live is what? To die is more of Christ. To be with Him. We're going to be, you know, we talk about shouting, or we talk about praising Christ. Buddy, when you get to heaven, there won't be nothing holding you back about serving the Lord then. Now, why is it that we allow things of this world to hold us back, not serving Christ, not wanting to die, but wanting to stay on this earth down here? A little different story, isn't it? Now, let me ask you another question as we get into this, and let's go back to Revelation just a minute as we look at this. Verse 9, he says, I know their works, tribulation, and poverty. Now, how many of you are poor? We always talk about how poor we are. We always talk about we just ain't got a whole lot. Well, let me ask you a question. You ever been to Africa? You ever had to live in a shack? Now, I will say this. When I grew up, out there on that farm I'm on right now, we didn't have running water. Matter of fact, the pump went out right after we moved out there in the spring, and I had to carry water for 2 years. Little old boy carrying water. Because mother and daddy didn't have the money to buy a pump. I remember them days. I remember getting one pair of shoes for the whole year to go to school. I remember mama sewing patches on my blue jeans. Patch them knees up because she's always fussing on me because I was always wearing them knees out. And I look back on it, I didn't know I was poor. I never had anything else. Didn't know I was poor. This church, the Smyrna church, was poor financially, but what did Jesus say about them? They were spiritually rich. Which way you'd rather be? You'd rather have a little less money and be spiritually rich? I'm not saying that it has to be that way. But what I'm saying is, to live is Christ. To die is gain, spiritually. Now, I'm amazed where our priorities are this day and age. For an example, designer clothes for kids. If you want to buy it, that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. It's your money. I know if you get one of my daughters, Gloria, and of course this will tell you how I'm dated, but had a pair of blue jeans back then. Gloria Vanderbilt, I know we'll forget it. $40. And this was early 70s. $40. She didn't get no Gloria. She didn't get them blue jeans. I'll just put it to you that way. Wasn't no way I was going to pay that. But parents today thinks their children has got to have all of this stuff to keep up with other kids. I'd rather have Jesus. I'd rather have Him. Not only that, let me ask you a question. While we're down here, can you sit in heavenly places? Can you? Where does it say that in the Bible? Ephesians, it said we can sit in heavenly places while we're down here. What's he talking about? Spiritually, here's the thing, and here's the key to that, and I want you to think about this just for a second. When we have a service that God comes in a mighty way, and people are crying, and people are lifting their hands up, where do you think you're sitting? Heavenly places. Not only that, there's been a lot of times when I get to that point, I wouldn't mind just doing what? Going right home.
Because then you realize how great it's going to be when you get there. Our problem is, once we come back down, we walk around in the flesh too much. Not spiritually, as we look at this. I'm just kind of amazed at all this, as we look at this. Now, let's talk a little bit about suffering. Okay? Suffering, as I looked it up, is agony. It's called affliction, distress, intense pain, or sorrow. Now, how many of you like to suffer? How many of you want to suffer? How many of us enjoy it? I don't know anybody that really wants to suffer, but what does God say about us suffering? To know Christ is to know the fellowship of His suffering. Most of us are willing to share in the blessings. We want all the blessings we can get. But we do not want to share in the fellowship of His suffering. Something else about the Smyrna church here. Do you know that He told them what was going to happen to them in the future? He told them they were going to die. He told them they were going to be persecuted. He told them they were going to suffer. But that is why you go back up to verse 8, that He told them that He was the first and the last, and that He had everything under control. In all reality, that's what He was saying. Now, He tells you and I that we're going to suffer. That we're going to go through a lot of these things. Now, what do you do during the suffering? What's the first thought you have in most cases when you got the berry by the tail? That's what I call it. Somebody else got it by the tail, don't bother me that much. Bothers me when I have to get him by the tail. Upsets me. Any of you ever been mad at God? Any of you ever been upset to the point when somebody stabs you in the back, you just want to quit and leave? Any of you ever just been to church, you go Sunday after Sunday, and still get dead as a doornail? Yeah, I've been there. It's a battle constantly. What did Jesus tell this church? Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. What did I say in verse 11? He that overcometh. What's he overcoming? You're going to have to overcome suffering. You're going to have to overcome tribulation. You're going to have to overcome death. You're going to have to meet it face to face. But what if it happens to you? Are we spiritually enough right now ready to really go be with the Lord? Or will we be ashamed of our works and what we have done for Christ? Paul said he didn't want to be ashamed. He didn't want to be ashamed. I don't want to be ashamed. Do you know, as much as I've said about heaven and about death, guess what's going to happen in heaven besides that? Do you believe there's going to be tears in heaven? Not going to be all joy. Oh, yeah, buddy. And I'll be honest with you. I'm not looking forward to the Bema Seat of Christ or the Judgment Seat of Christ. You know why? Because I fail too much. I come short of God's glory. Now, I know He forgives me, and He's not judging me on my sin. But he will judge me on how I obey him. It's obeying him. Doing what he wants you to do. Do you want to be ashamed when you meet him? Or do you want to be him to say, well done. You've been faithful over a few things. Now I'll make you ruler over many. Which one do you want? The choice is yours. Now, I'm going to ask you again. How many of you? And we brought it out the last time I talked. How many of you know your spiritual gift? And how many of it are you using your spiritual gift? See, that's the key. To obey. To use what God would have you to use. Now, there's a few other things I want to bring up with Paul. And I want us to look at this just for a second. Paul sought to deny himself and take up the cross daily. What does the Lord tell us to do? To deny ourselves and take up the cross. Now, if you want to look that up, that's Luke 9:23. Paul also sought to crucify the old man with Christ, Romans 6:6. What does it mean by crucify the flesh? You bring it into subjection. You kill it. In other words. Now, let me ask you a question. I want you to think about this. The Lord tells us in Romans there that the old man is dead. Is that correct? Well, how many of you ever pick him back up? Well, let me ask you another question. If you pick up the old man, which is dead, have you ever thought about the old man that's dead that stinks? You throw him over your shoulder and carry him around. Have you ever thought about how you smell? Right. You haven't thought about that, have you? Yeah, it's true. You pick him up. He done died. We become a new creature in Christ. Yes. All right, next, I want you to think about this. Paul sought to kill himself all the day long. Romans 8:36. Also, 1 Corinthians 15:31. Paul sought to die daily. To die daily. There's a couple more things I want to bring out real quick. I'm just going to read from the Bible about what the Bible says about suffering. Matthew 5:11. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of things evil against you falsely for my sake. Blessed are ye or happy are ye, whichever which one you want to look at. Luke 10:39. He that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loses his life for my sake shall find it. Matthew 19:29. Every one that hath forsaken house or brethren or sister or father or mother or wife or children or land for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit it everlasting life. Acts 9:16. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. He was talking about Paul there. But also us. 1 Corinthians 4:10. The Bible says, for we are fools for Christ's sake. But we are wise in Christ. We are weak, but we are strong. You are honorable, and we are despised. 2 Corinthians 4:11 says, for we which we live are always delivered unto death. For Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Now, Paul made a statement over there in Philippians that he didn't... that when he said he was to die in gain, but he made another statement down there, said it was needful for him to stay. Now, why did he say that? All of you kind of know. I think I got a kind of general idea of that. Now, Paul was doing what? Missionary work? Working for God? He was thrown in prison. He was suffering. He was doing all of these things. He said it was more needful for that particular time for him to stay than to go on. Is that correct? You agree with that? Well, You ain't dead yet, are you? Is it more needful for you to stay here then? Uh-oh. Are you doing what Paul said to? Or are you doing like Paul? God has got you here for a purpose. He does not have you here to sit on the stool and do nothing. He does not. He didn't give you a spiritual gift for you to cast it away. He didn't give you a mouth to keep it shut, not to witness. He didn't give you ears to hear the gospel spiritually and do nothing about it. How many times do we hear the Word of God, hear it over and over and over again, and sit down and don't do what it says do? What does the Bible, what does He say? Be ye what? Doers of the Word, not what? That's it. Doers. I don't mind telling you. I will say this, and I'll be as honest as I know how to be. We need to get spiritually on another level. And that includes me. And that includes you. We need to be closer than we ever have. Why? Because we're going to suffer. These trials coming. These tragedy coming. I'll take just me and my family. I know Nancy, I'll just use my wife, bless her heart. She's lost 4 brothers. 2 of them to tragedy. I've heard the wailing and the sorrow and the pain. The grief that you go through. All because of death. But here's the key. He's talking to His people for us to be faithful, steadfast, because He is alive. He's done died for you and I. He's done suffered for you and I. He is sitting on the right hand of God in heaven, making intercession for you and I, knowing what the future is going to be and what we are going to go through, just like He did this church. And He gave us a promise. What was it? He'd never what? Leave us? Nor for what? We forget about that sometimes, don't we? I know a lot of times I'll get to pray and I'll say, where are you? Where'd you go? Wasn't Him. It was me. I was the one that backed up, not Him. Now, something I want to just read, and I'll be quick. Time's up. Time for me to quit. Smyrna, went through several periods of financial persecution. I want you to think about this. When a man stood for Jesus in that day, Smyrna, if he had a business, it was boycotted. Do you think about this? Or his employment opportunity was cut short. The church enjoyed few monetary assets. Now, look at us. What do we have? Think about it. This church didn't have that. All right? What happened to Chick-fil-A when they took a stand? They got boycotted. You think it's not coming? Huh? Sure. Think about it. The earlier church was marked by material poverty, but they had spiritual what?
Riches.
Power with God. What do we have today? How are we marked? We are marked by material wealth, but spiritual weakness. How many Christians are strong today? You know, church, you know, when you teach a lesson like this, you know, dealing with death and tragedy and suffering,
What I'm trying to get you to do is to realize how far we have got to go, how much we got to grow, and where we really need to be. The more I study, the more I realize, oh, I have such a long way to go. Long way to go. But I love it when Jesus touches my heart, moves in my soul. There's nothing like that. There's nothing like being close to Him and being in His fellowship. What do you want? Do you want to be in His fellowship? Do you want to be in His suffering? Will you join up and get in the army? Will you fight the battle? And will you overcome the tragedies and the troubles and the sorrows that we all are going to have to go through? May the good Lord bless you. Brother Mike.